Good morning. Good to be back. I hope you're all doing well. Wow, those lights are bright this morning. Wow. Okay. Well, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, Messiah, the Son of God, the one who came and died upon the cross and rose again according to the Scriptures, who defeated sin and death. And Lord, that's why we're here today. If it wasn't for you, we'd have no reason to be here at all. We just pray that your Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Pray that your word would be magnified. Lord, that would be a blessing to your people listening here or online. Lord, it would be edifying, encouraging, equipping, exhorting. That it also motivates to go out and evangelize and share the good news with those around us. So we give you praise and glory this morning. And may your word be magnified, and may we know more confidently of what it means to be saved, set free in you, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to see if I get the slides right this week. Last week I had a little fun with that one. I got my round two. Is my round two today. So, sola fide. What I also would say for this morning is to be assured. Last week, we discussed sola scriptura and why that's relevant and important. How to examine creeds, denominations, churches, cults, religions, commentaries, pastors, elders, whoever. And there's always got to be a standard to some extent of to know right from wrong, truth from error, sound doctrine from false doctrine. The doctrine of the gospel of Christ has been under attack since the very beginning. And you can look at many letters from the Apostle Paul writing to the Galatians, having to address them. Peter having to confront people in the book of Acts, what the gospel is about. We'll talk about that a little bit later. John writes about different people who preach a different Jesus, and to test the spirit to see whether or not they've come from God. And so for many of us, maybe or maybe not, you've never really been confronted with what is the gospel? What does it mean to be saved? And can you know you have the assurance of salvation? So I'd like to read this morning, why sola fide, justification by faith alone. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? I actually don't have that slide up there, apparently. That's okay. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and what is the message that saves? Are we saved by faith alone in Christ Jesus, or faith plus works, or plus anything else? The debate on, are we saved truly in Christ Jesus by faith alone apart from works, or are we saved by faith plus works? This is what we want to look at today. What does the Bible teach? Ah, there we go. That makes much more sense now. Yay! Woo! All right, now we're on the same page. If you open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, for those who like to open your Bibles, you can also see on the screen, if you can read that little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. This is Peter writing to Christians in the first beginning of the church. These are people who have never personally seen Jesus. The apostles did. They were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They saw his life, his teachings, his miracles, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and they're the early testimonies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is some years later, Peter writing to these Christians scattered, and these are people that have not personally saw face to face who Jesus Christ was. I think it's very applicable to us today as well. In verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you." Those are very comforting words. "Who are protected by the power of God through faith." Pay attention to that word faith throughout this morning. "For a faith, through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even now, though for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found seen, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." That's why we're here today. We praise God, right? Amazing God, awesome God, that song that we sang. Hallelujah. "Obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Now Peter writes a little bit here about the previous, what we know, the prophets in the scriptures. "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow." So through the Holy Spirit, we see the third person of the Trinity was revealing prophets to the prophets, prophecies, the coming of the Savior, the good news of Jesus Christ. "It was revealed to them they were not serving themselves, but you." So he's writing to these people. "But you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel." So this is now given to the prophets through the Holy Spirit. Now through the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, giving this declaration, this gospel message, and that's where we're at today, 2,000 years later, and we're out to proclaim the gospel as well. Amen? Otherwise, we wouldn't be here today, right? Someone had to preach the gospel to you, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Amen? "The gospel received by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things angels long to look." I would like to remind you that verses 3 through 5 are very important about the assurance of salvation. "According to his great mercy, we've been caused to be born again," and that's through faith in Christ, "to this living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead," to what? "To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, it's undefiled, will not fade away, and reserved in heaven for you." Now, I make this joke. I am an American, but I do live here in Canada. I've been here since 2001. And out here, we love to sometimes go to a good restaurant, you know, like go to the Keg, you know, good steak place, or any other place you like to go to, and you got to have a reservation, right? Now, when I live in the States, a lot of times we like to go to what's called the Outback Steakhouse out there. Love going out there. This big blooming onion thing, it was ridiculous, right? Well, can I give you something better? Not me, but this is the Word of God. Can you know that if you're in Christ Jesus, if you are born again, if you're a child of God, if you're a new creation in Jesus Christ, you have reservations in heaven? Is anybody excited about that? Okay. Are we a living church or a dead church? Wake up, right? This is good news, brothers and sisters. Now, the question is, sometimes, what is faith? If you open up your Bibles, if you're following along that way, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You want to know what faith is? The answer is in the Word of God. It says in Hebrews 11:1, Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that's exactly what we just read with Peter. He was giving us this assurance, this undefiled, will not fade away. Power of God protects us through faith. This is faith we have. We can't see it physically, but we know it's true. The Word of God is true. Sometimes our emotions, our feelings, we can feel like we're not saved. We think we're not saved. We think we're not doing enough good works. Works don't save you. Works are a product of fruit because you are saved. We are called to do good works. We're called to minister to the lost. We're called to reach out to the needy. We're called to these things. But these things don't get you saved, and they don't keep you saved. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6? He who began a good work in you might complete it. What translation has that one? That's the satanic translation, right? Our Bible says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? So here over here, it looks like I have a typo here. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. The assurance of salvation, it should say Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 up top there, but, well, really just assurance of salvation. In your Bibles, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesians, those in Ephesus. And he says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So what's the gospel? We'll get to that more clearly in just a little bit. But we know it's about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if they are listening to the message of truth, the gospel, having also believed. So whenever you first truly believe, this is the good news, brothers and sisters. When you believe the gospel truly, wholly, not just mentally, not just going through some church religious motions, but when you really believed, you were sealed with him, in him, with the Holy Spirit of promise. So you became born again, a child of God, made alive in Christ, a new creation. When you believed it, if you truly believed it wholeheartedly, not just with wishy-washy fluffianity. We got a lot of fluffianity going on today. We need to be living Christianity. Paul here says, who is given, who's that? The Holy Spirit, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. Paul writes in the next chapter, because there's the debate. The debate's going to come up in a little bit. Many of you have heard this debate, the issue of faith and works. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, what is it? It's for by grace you have been saved through faith. Amen? Not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Here's a news flash. The Old Testament believers, the saints, people of God, followers of God, Israelites and converts to the Jewish faith back in those days. Everyone in the Old Testament, when they were saved by faith. Nobody could keep the law. Anybody think you could keep the law? The Bible says we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, right? Ecclesiastes 7:20 says there's not a righteous man on the whole earth who does good yet never sins. We all stumble. But it's by grace. People were saved truly by faith then and now. If there was something that we could physically do, some kind of physical action, some kind of physical work that was faith plus something else, then you have to ask the question, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he come? If we could be saved by doing good works or good things, according to the Old Testament, why did Jesus come and die on the cross? Because we couldn't save ourselves of good works. And he had to redeem us from the stain of sin so that we could have fellowship to be able to enter in the very presence of God from the fall of Adam and Eve back in Genesis chapter 3. Are you guys with me? You guys are on the same page? So the debate comes then, James chapter 2. This is the debate. You guys heard this argument before, I'm sure. Faith without works is dead. Faith alone is dead. James 2:24, right? Raise a hand if you know what I'm talking about. I want to make sure you guys are alive and awake here. I don't want to, like, you know, scare anybody here, okay? All right, good. James 2 is ultimately the golden egg, right? The ace in the hole to prove faith alone can't be true. When we talk about faith alone, what did we just read a little while ago? What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, right? Not too complicated. If we're saved in Christ only, it isn't less, you know, some religion, denomination, happen to follow some creed, walk on water, jump over a building, whatever it may be. So many people have all these additional things. If it's faith alone in Christ, solely, why is that so complicated? Why do people stumble? Because normally people think, oh, it can't be that easy. Well, it's not really that easy, to be honest with you. Remember Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must count the cost. If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and walk after him. Faith alone is not easy, brothers and sisters. It takes true commitment to Jesus Christ. If you think it's easy, then you're just playing church. At the end of the day, who do you really trust in for your salvation? So James here, if you read the whole context of the verses before this, for the sake of time, he's talking to people who are showing favoritism in the church, if you've read it, who are giving favoritism to people who had money, wealth, riches, looking down upon the poor. And he's basically saying, you guys are being stupid. You guys are being hypocrites. You're showing partiality. This is not the way to be Christians. So when we get to verse 14, watch this. Notice he says the word, what use is it, a few times. He says in verse 14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? Notice it says, if someone says, that's speaking something, right? We're not just to be hearers, we're supposed to be doers. You're not just supposed to be saying things, you're supposed to be a part of living this out, right? James chapter 1. He says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and need of food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and filled, yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, notice this, what use is that? If you say, go and just be merry, be well, but you don't help them when you can, what use is that? That's not being real. Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. So here's the contrast. We get to Abraham. Notice verse 20. He says, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? So in other words, if you claim to be a Christian, you claim to follow Jesus Christ, you claim to be a part of the Christian church, but your life has literally nothing to show for it. You're not living for Jesus. You're not helping other people around. You're not reading your Bible. You're not going to fellowship. You're just literally just, I claim to be a Christian, and you live like fill in the blank. Is that being a Christian? Is that authentic? Is that genuine? I would consider the option being pretty dangerous that you have a said faith, not a genuine faith. That doesn't mean that we, and be very clear, we Christians stumble, right? Who doesn't sin? Anybody not sin in here? Oh, I got you. Just joking. I'm just joking. I knew somebody would get that one. That's right. You never lie either. There you go. That's right. She's telling the honest truth. We all sin, don't we? We all do. We all stumble. That's why we're saved by grace. None of us are without sin. So this is not a condemnation. It's saying, look, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ? There's certain things that will stick out. They will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another, right? There are many things. You are to be lights in a dark world, right? Like, this is what it means to follow Christ. So Abraham, remember this. During the time of Abraham, Moses didn't exist. There was no Ten Commandments. There was no law that we would understand as the old covenant at this time. When Abraham was being called by God, he was just living out this faith. He had face-to-face type of directions with the Lord, interacted with him. He called him out, and there's times where he says he believed, and this is what we get to right here in James 2:20 or 2:21. Was not Abraham, our father, justified when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? This goes back to the book of Genesis chapter 22. You see that faith was working with his works. As a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned him as righteousness. So we go back in the Genesis. If you were to read it in Genesis 15, there's a place where the Lord has given him some information, and he says he believes what the Lord said. And it says he believed, and it was reckoned to him or credited to him as righteousness. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But the point here is, Abraham didn't just have mental consent, didn't just have lip service, he believed God. And if you know the story in Genesis, he was actually being called to offer up his son. That's a hard, we don't have children, my wife and I, okay? But those of you who have parents, those are your parents. This is a big thing. This was a big step of faith that Abraham had to do. Not many people would walk and say yes to that. But Abraham did. And if you remember, in the context of Genesis 22, there were some fellows with them, him, Isaac, and Abraham, and there's some people with him. And he says, we're going to go up to the mountain. And Abraham knew what he was called to do. But he says, we will come back to you. So Abraham knew what he was called to do. He didn't know how it was going to end up. But he knew and believed that he was also coming back with his son. Right? And that's the testimony we have here. So when it says here, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone, in verse 24, this is talking about vindication or proven faith. People have a said faith. Abraham had a genuine faith. He made lots of mistakes, just like all of us did. This is not teaching against faith alone as being justified in Christ for our salvation. Is that making sense, guys? Because this is the number one go-to verse that everyone out there, whether they be, and I may offend people, I don't try to intentionally, but you got many different Christian denominations, many different cults, Catholics, Orthodox, the list goes down the line of different groups that will claim faith plus, faith plus, faith plus. If it's faith plus anything, then it's not by grace. Amen? This is the truth of God's word. And we need to stand on what God's word teaches. So let's go back a little bit. John 3:16. Many of us know this scripture. Who doesn't know? Well, all right, let's reword it. Who knows John 3:16? Right? We all do, right? Everyone. This is where you can raise your hand and you're okay. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's really, when you think about what we call Easter or Resurrection Sunday or Christmas, I mean, this is the heart of why we would even gather together, because Jesus came. So that whoever believes in him will what? Not perish, but have eternal life. That word believes, just to kind of give you a little indication, if you were to do a little bit of Greek, you can do Blue Letter Bible, Bible Hub, Logos, many other software out there. It's the Greek word pistuo, and it has the meaning to cling to hold on to put your whole trust in. So if you put your whole trust in Jesus Christ, you can know you have eternal life and will not perish. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world. Now, we're not talking about eschatology, but if you were to look at the book of Revelation, when Jesus comes back the second time, he is coming back in judgment. But this time he came to save us, that we might be saved. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not judged. That's good news, right? Raise your hand. That's good news? This is Participation Sunday. Okay, you guys are getting it. All right. He who does not believe has been judged already because he's not believed the name of the only begotten Son of God. So what this means simply is this. Sin is what separates us essentially from God. If you put your trust in the Lord and you trust in the gospel, you're saved. But if not, you're still going to be lost in your sins. Jesus, after he's resurrected, he's reaching out to his disciples and talking to them. He said, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you. All the things were written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So here, this is after he's resurrected. If you read the Gospels, a lot of times the disciples did not understand what Jesus was talking about. I'm there sometimes too. I read the Word of God and I'm like, a lot of it I do understand, but I'm like, sometimes I don't get it. The disciples didn't get it, but now after he was resurrected, he's telling them, and then he opens up, says right here in verse 45, he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written, just like we talked about last week, it is written. Who was here last week? Raise your hands. All right. It is written. He's going back to the word of God that is true, tested, and proven. Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations. So this is where we see the disciples first going out, preaching repentance, preaching Christ, and this is where the church was beginning. The Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just like we read earlier, what is faith? The simplest way to understand what is faith is Hebrews 11:1. You want to know what the gospel truly is? This is it right here, laid out plain and simple. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he says, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also have received, and in which you also stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you. Now here's a very hard thing sometimes for us to grasp. Unless you believed in vain. Only you know yourself in this area, and only God knows who your heart is. I can tell you this from personal experience, being a born-again Christian since the age of 6, I'm 54, been involved in church ministry and apologetics and evangelism since the early 1990s. Sadly, there's a lot of people who go to churches today who think they're Christians, but they're not. I encourage you today, really examine yourselves to see whether or not you really believe, or are you just playing church. He says, for I delivered you as first importance, verse 3, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. See this common theme. It's like we had a message last week about sola scriptura. It's amazing. It's like Paul knew. That Christ died according to our sins, for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried and raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's exactly what we just read from what Jesus talked about. Well, then let's get to the crux. Let's get to the meat and potatoes of what it means to be justified by faith alone, what it means to be saved apart from works, what it means that you can know you have the assurance of salvation today. Let's just get it out there and make it plain as possible. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, Paul writes here in verse 21, now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith. Here's that theme again. Notice the word faith. Through faith in Christ Jesus for all those who believe. There's no distinction. You can be American. You can be Canadian. You can be Chinese. You can be Mexican. You can be white, black, short, tall, ugly, fat, beautiful. Nobody's ugly or fat. Don't worry. Okay, you know what I'm saying? All of us, there's no distinction. But for all have sinned. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all going to be held accountable. But being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. There's this word justified. There's an expression you guys have probably heard it before. Just as if I've never sinned, right? You've heard that before. This is a very important thing because, of course, we've sinned. But when you are justified in Christ, it's like the Old Testament with the Passover and the blood that would be on the post of the doorpost and that the angel of death that would go, it would pass over. When God looks at us now because of what Christ has done on the cross, resurrection, his shed blood, his atoning sacrifice, defeating sin and death, when he looks at us now, he doesn't see our sin, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, we are justified. This is probably one of the best texts. They're all great. They're all great. But this is probably one of the best texts that really lays this out for us in Romans chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. It goes back to Abraham. Paul says here, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. This is what we read earlier with James chapter 2, right? Notice with James, though, James is talking about this proven faith, this living faith, not a said faith. Here, this is now talking about salvation. Now, to the one who works, verse 4, his wage is not credited as favor, but what is due. So if it's faith plus anything else, and you're standing before God in the heavenly throne, however all that works, because I haven't been one of those guys that's been in heaven, come back and wrote a book and got $1 billion, okay? But when we're standing before the throne of God, and he says, well, why should you, you know, that question, why should you come in? Why should I let you in? Well, Lord, I did this. Lord, I did that. I was, you know, if it's anything but just Jesus, then it's a works-based gospel. There's no ifs, buts about it. Again, we're not downplaying. We are to do good works. Amen? But we're not saved by these works. Otherwise, it's what's due. But look at what verse 5 says. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. That word credited, another Greek word for those who like to study, it's the Greek word logizomai. It means that we have now been given or imputed with Christ's righteousness. No longer us. We've now been declared righteous because of what Christ has done for us. Is there an amen out there? I hope so. I'm just giving you good old-fashioned Bible preaching, Word of God, trying to keep my commentary as little as possible. Amen? Justified in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5. Paul writes, therefore, having been justified by faith, how are we justified? Amen. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace which we stand. Amen. Not only this, we hope in the glory of God, not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, perseverance proven character, hope. Hope goes back to Hebrews 11:1 again. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. Justified by faith. Amen? Don't need a whole lot of commentary for that. Romans chapter 6, 22 and 23. Paul writes, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome of eternal life. Now, here's the difference. If we're in our sin, death, separation. For the wage of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. What I'm trying to do is walk through these plain, simple scriptures to give you this abundance of encouragement that if you are in Christ, you can know this. You can know this. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Now, Romans chapter 10 is probably the coolest text, I think, to really lay it out. If you're wanting, maybe you're not an evangelist, You're not a theologian. You're not an elder. You're not a pastor. You don't have 400 PhDs. You know, I don't have a PhD. But if you want to know a simplistic way to share the gospel, if someone's asking how to be saved, Romans 10, 9 through 13. That if you confess with your mouth, verse 9, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So when you believe in your heart truly in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And when you declare it, it's speaking forth this righteousness in Christ. Verse 10, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. The scripture says, whoever believes, the gospel is for everyone. Amen? Whoever believes will not be disappointed, for there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all. And look at verse 13. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is this complicated? Who thinks it's complicated? Good answer. Good answer. This is Christianity 101. This is such a big debate in the Christian church today. How are we saved? What keeps you saved? But yet it's so simple. If we just take the time to read the scriptures carefully and be, again, I have to be careful what I say. I know this because I don't want to offend anybody the wrong way. But be careful when you're reading Bible commentaries or study Bibles or whatever it is. Even like someone like myself, like last week when I had my shirt, be Bereans, right? We all need to be Bereans. Test what you listen to. Test what you're being taught. And I know Pastor Vic is great. Raise your hand. He's a good pastor, right? All hands are supposed to go up, right? Oh, Vic. No, I'm just joking. Okay. He's a great Bible teacher. I love Vic. He's a wonderful guy. We started off in 1 Peter. We're going to go back to Peter here in a little bit. But this is another example of Peter giving him a clarification here. In Acts 15, the story is this. It's talking about Peter preaching to the Gentiles. The gospel, the good news, which goes back to Acts chapter 10. And Peter, kind of in the beginning stage, remember they're told to go to reach all the nations? Well, they weren't really getting the message right away. They were predominantly going to the Jews. But God was saying, look, go to the Gentiles. And Peter was kind of a little bit kicking here, but God gave him that proper revelation, and he finally understood it and went out. And when he preached the gospel to Cornelius and the others that were with him, in Acts chapter 10, 39 through 43, he gave him the death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, everyone who receives him receives forgiveness of sins. And something supernatural took place. From verse 43 to verse 44, I wish there was a 43.5 to give this clarification, but they were hearing the gospel, and immediately in verse 44, it says they began to speak in tongues, magnifying and glorifying God. And then Peter says, wow, these guys have the same Holy Spirit as we do, us Jews. These Gentiles have the same Holy Spirit. They're now saved. They're Christians. And Peter makes this really amazing statement. She says, and he ordered them to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. But notice what he didn't say. He didn't say faith plus works, faith plus having to be physically water baptized. That's a big one in the Christian church today. You got to be physically dunked to be saved. And if you read everything in context, Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 11, Acts 15, 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 3, and bring all these pieces together in context, you know it wasn't physical water or works that save you. It's faith truly in Jesus Christ. Amen? So here's where we get to Acts 15. There was a debate going on prior to this. A group that believed in Jesus, but they were saying he had to hold on to the Old Testament still to be saved. And it says in verse 7, we pick it up here in Acts 15. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made among you a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of God, word of the gospel, and believe. So he's talking about what took place in Acts chapter 10, which is also spoken in Acts chapter 11. And he says, the Gentiles would hear the word of gospel and believe. Look at verse 8 and 9 carefully with me. And God, who knows the heart, testified to them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their hearts by what? Say it louder. Faith. Amen. Faith in Christ. Now, therefore, why do you put God to the test? By placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear. But we believe, and we believe this today, we believe that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the same way they are also. Amen? Here's some more assurance scriptures here for us, in assurance of salvation in Christ. Jesus speaking of his people, his sheep, those who know him and follow him. John chapter 10, 28 through 29. Jesus said, I give eternal life to them. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one's able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Do we believe Jesus? Did Jesus say, I give you possible life, temporary life, or I give you eternal life? Is he not the good shepherd who keeps his sheep? I believe the answer is yes. Amen? Maybe. I don't know. We don't know, Kelly. Yes, amen. Yes. He keeps his sheep. This is good. None will perish. None will be snatched. If you are a part of the body of Christ, that is the confidence you have today. You can know this for yourself in Christ. Jesus, when he's talking to Martha, remember when he's talking about Lazarus? You remember, you know, Lazarus, and he's talking to Lazarus, and he's dead for a long period of time, and they're all wondering what's going on. Jesus, you came late. You came late to the party or the funeral. And he's talking to Martha, and he said to her in verse 25 of John chapter 11, I got to speed up the clock here. Apparently I'm taking forever here. Jesus will come back before I get done here. Okay, we got to move it. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. We will all taste physical death. The odds are pretty clear. Unless the rapture happens or the second coming or however all that pans out, we will all taste physical death. But you will never die. That's talking spiritually. If you are in Christ, you will never taste death from that angle. He says, do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord. I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, he who comes. I ask you today, do you believe this? Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior? Have you put your whole trust in him completely? Or are you playing church? If you put your trust in him, look at what John says in John 20, 31. These have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name. Amen? 1 John 5, 20, probably one of the coolest, I use the word cool a lot, there's a lot of cool verses, right? This is one of the coolest verses because a lot of times I love witnessing to those in other cults and religions. This is a great verse because how can we know we have eternal life? Many cults and religions say, we can't really know we have eternal life right now. I hope I'm doing good enough. Hope I'm doing this or that. I hope you know that this balances everything out. I can't really know. You can know. Look at what John writes here. This is not my words. This is not Kelly Powers. This is the Apostle John. 1 John 5, 10 through 13. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony himself. The one who does not believe has made God, who's not believed God has made him a liar, because he not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. The testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. Now look at verse 13, and you tell me today, can you know or not know? John writes to Christians, these things I've written to you who believed. You all believe this morning? Raise your hand. Amen. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may almost know That's the wrong translation. So that you may know you have eternal life in Christ. Is that not the gospel? Isn't that the good news of Christ? You guys are such a great congregation. You guys are amazing, just so you know. As we wrap up here, you guys are great, really. I mean it. She laughs. You're laughing at me. We go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, where we started, 3 through 5. Remember what Peter says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope. Not a dead hope, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? To obtain an inheritance. I don't know what all that means, but I'm sure it's pretty awesome. Which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away. Is that not good news? But even better, reserved in heaven for you. Is that not the greatest of all time right there? Who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed. Lastly, I want to bless you guys this morning. This has been great. It's been an honor to speak God's word. I get excited and I'm passionate. I love evangelism, love apologetics, love teaching, discipleship. Sola Scriptura is the heart and soul of what I do for my ministry. Teaching the gospel, telling people about what it means to be saved is the heart of evangelism. And if you're a Christian today, this is the greatest gift of all time. I want to encourage you guys to go out and share it with other people as well. What is faith? Faith is the assurance. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Amen? Amen. You can know that if you are in Christ, you are justified by faith alone, period. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise and glory this morning for the goodness of the gospel. We thank you, Jesus Christ, for what you did for us on the cross and the resurrection, defeating sin and death. And that the good news of the gospel is for whosoever, that whoever will put their trust in you. If there's anybody potentially listening this morning who has not truly given their heart to you, I plead with them, Lord, we ask in your name, through your Holy Spirit, move in their life that they will put their trust in you today. And we ask, Holy Spirit, lead and guide us as we go from here. Help us to be your lights in this world. Help us to preach your word. Be ready in season, out of season. Help us to be your people, hands and feet, to reach the lost, minister to people in need. And help us to be a community of Christians together, building each other up and being a blessing to one another. Until you come back, Jesus. In your name, amen.